A Jew is to dedicate himself to the concept of belonging. For this reason, Rosh Hashanah has the motive of Yom Hadin, because the fundamental question in a divine judgment is whether a person is motivated by the concept of belonging. And the Zohar says that when Elisha asked the Shunammite whether there is any wish that she has and that she would like him to fulfill for her, and the response of the Shunammite was, no, there is nothing I wish, because b'silchami ani yushevet, I dwell among my people. The Zohar says that that day was the day of Rosh Hashanah. And the Shunammite answered that she does not have to make any wish, because she is completely overwhelmed by the feeling of b'silchami aneichi yushevet. What does it mean? On Rosh Hashanah, on the Yom Hadin, it is the fundamental duty of a Jew or a Jewess to dedicate himself or herself to the concept of belonging. First, a Jew must know that he belongs to Almighty God, to an extent even of giving away his life. In mentioning 10 motives for Rosh Hashanah, I forgot to mention one very important motive, the Akedah. That's also one of the motives of Rosh Hashanah. But this motive, we have 11, not 10. So, but this motive of the Akedah stems from the concept of belonging to God. And for this reason, Rosh Hashanah is dedicated to the concept of Malchus. Because the Brocha of Malchus expresses the conviction of the Jewish people that there will come a time when all of mankind will truly be conscious of the fact that they all belong to God. When all of mankind will appoint the Ribbono Shel Olam as the Melech Kol Olam. And for this reason, Rosh Hashanah is dedicated to the concept of Sheifres, which is motivated by the idea of Priras Umo HaYisraelis, because there cannot be any true belonging to God if the feeling of belonging to God is not coupled with the feeling of belonging to man and to Israel. Now, in respect to the prophet of Sutom in Pole, Jehovah Roch of Mishpot, Kele Munavei Novel, Tzadik Yosho. This three raises the question, how can we apply this appellation to Almighty God? Kele Munav, Vichibimi Hu Mamin. A human being can be a Mamin if he believes in God, trusts in God. But how can we apply the expression Munav to Almighty God Himself? Elo Shehemin Diodom. The Rebbein Shalom is designated as the Kelem Uno because the Rebbein Shalom himself has confidence in man. And if the Rebbein Shalom, has confidence in man, then man too must have confidence in man. And the confidence in man must stem from confidence in God, not from confidence in man per se. That would be real of his heart. But he must have confidence in man as a natural incident from confidence in God. And on Rosh Hashanah, a person has to say, B'Srichami Onoichi Yushevet, as the Shunammite said. Has to dedicate himself to the concept of Bechiras Umo HaYisrael. We can very well understand as to why Rosh Hashanah dedicated to the fathers of the Jewish people and to the mothers of men, also for the same reason. Because in order to belong to God, one must realize that to attain proximity to God, in order to approach God, he must first belong to father and mother. No man can attain any proximity with God if he does not use his father and mother as a medium. When the Ribbono Shel Olam appeared to Moshe Rabbeinu for the first time, the Ribbono Shel Olam addressed himself as Onechi Elokei Avicha, Elokei Avraham, Elokei Yitzchak, Elokei Yaakov. Avicha referring not to Avraham, Yitzchak, Yaakov. Avraham, Yitzchak, Yaakov are mentioned separately, but Avicha referring to Avraham. Whereupon the Medrash Rabbah makes the comment, Omer HaKadosh Baruch Hu, Im Ani Nidmeloi B'Koyle Shali, if I am to reveal myself to Moshe in my own voice, in the Almighty's voice, Hu Nivach Lufanai, he'll become frightened. V'kach Ani Nigle Eloi B'Koyle Shaloviv. And at first it appeared to Moshe that Amram, his father, was talking to him. And then the Ribbono Shel Olam disclosed to him the truth, that it was the Ribbono Shel Olam himself who revealed himself unto Moshe. Why? Because the Ribbono Shel Olam's voice is too sublime and too transcendental to for men to grasp and comprehend. Only through the medium of the father and the mother can the Ribbono Shel Olam reveal himself to man, even to Moshe Rabbeinu. Kal v'chomer ben bnei shel kal v'chomer, that the Ribbono Shel Olam could not reveal himself in any way without recourse to the medium of father and mother. And we find that in the beginning of the world, when the Ribbono Shel Olam created Adam and Chava, the Ribbono Shel Olam revealed himself to Adam and Chava. And Adam, when he heard the voice of the Almighty, he hid himself before God. And the Ribbono Shel Olam had to proclaim, Ayeko, where art thou? And Adam had to concede the cup of Shel HaKadosh Baruch Hu. According to Rabbi Yehuda Halevi in the Kuzari, Adam HaRishon represented the best that can be realized man, because he was himself a Yitzhak cup of Shel HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And still, the Yitzhak cup of Shel HaKadosh Baruch Hu did not want to communicate with God. He hid himself when God approached. How can that be explained? So many people tried to have communion with God and they didn't succeed. And here, Adam and Chava, that the Ribbono Shel Olam should call them, should reveal himself, and they refused. They hid themselves. Well, the answer is very simple. Because men cannot attain any proximity with God except through the medium of his father and mother. Adam and Chava were the first men and the first women on earth. They had no father and mother. That medium was lacking. They could not, they became frightened of proximity with God. So on Rosh Hashanah, when a Jew is to dedicate himself completely to the concept of belonging to God, that's the primary objective of Rosh Hashanah. But in order to attain proximity with God, he must do it, he must realize it, through the medium of father and mother. Consequently, Rosh Hashanah is also declared as the Father's Day and the Mother's Day. Why did Sisko's mother suffer so much? Why did Sisko's mother have to give vent to 100 different sounds of grief. Because Sisera's mother, unlike Sorrow, Rochel and Hannah, did not know how to bring up children. Sisera's mother brought up Sisera under the idea that he can attain great heights in the world without being overwhelmed by the feeling of belonging, without being motivated by the feeling of belonging to God, without being motivated by the feeling of belonging to mankind, without feeling belonging, without being motivated by the feeling of belonging to one's people, to one's spouse, to one's family, to one's parents, to one's children, to one's friends. And for that reason, she had to suffer, and she had to utter 100 sounds of grief. And Jews throughout the generations, and Rish HaShanah, when they are to dedicate themselves to the concept of belonging, the concept of belonging to God, which also includes a concept of belonging to man, to one's people and to one's family, to one's wife, to one's husband, to one's parents and to one's children and to one's friends. On Rish HaShanah, Jews are required to blow 100 kelis, thereby musically to express this idea that without the medium of father and mother, one cannot attain proximity with God. Even Moshe Rabbeinu himself could not approach God for the first time without the medium of father and mother. And this concept of belonging is not only the quintessence of the concept of Kedusha, that this is the quintessence of the concept of Kedusha, can be deduced from a mere cursory glance of the Seder of Deishin. Now the Parsha of Deishin commences with the general commandment of Deishin Tiyo. Thou shalt be holy. Why? Kikodesh Ani. Because God himself is holy. But then, this mitzvah of Deishin is followed up by a series of commandments of the Yemitis Diskore, commandments dealing with Rakichikopeye, commandments dealing with brotherly love, commandments dealing with fair treatment of a stranger, and so on and so forth. Why? Because Kedusha cannot be attained in a vacuum. Kedusha, according to the Jewish concept, cannot be attained by isolating oneself from the world. On the contrary, the more one isolates himself from the world, the more he sinks into the depths of the abyss. Kedusha can be attained only by mingling with people and by fulfilling all the social and humanitarian obligations that are enumerated in the Parsha of Deishin. By fulfilling the obligations of Lekichik Kalpeye, by fulfilling the obligations of the Yemitit in Skori, by fulfilling the obligations of Aftor Racha Kamecho, and of Lysashek, Lysikve, Lysignevo, and so on and so forth. And what is Kedusha? What is Kedusha? Kedusha is synonymous with the concept of belonging. Hekdesh means something that belongs to God. A Jew is Kodesh if he is overwhelmed by the feeling of belonging to God. And Rosh Hashanah, a Jew, is to dedicate himself to this concept of Kedusha, of belonging to God, of complete dedication to Almighty God, to the extent of being ready and willing to give way his life for Hashem, even under circumstances which seem to be repugnant to all rationality and all reason, in the same way as Avraham was willing and ready to give way his son. It was repugnant to all reason. But a Jew has to be ready to give this supreme sacrifice. If he's not ready to give his supreme sacrifice, which means even the life of his children, which is much more than his own life, then he's not overwhelmed by the motive of Rosh Hashanah. Feeling of belonging is not only the gist of the concept of pleasure, it is also the gist of happiness. If a person is not overwhelmed by a feeling of belonging to God and to men, then he cannot be happy. And it is for this reason that the release of Joseph from prison, Amrei Shashonor, constitutes, according to the sages, a cardinal motive for Rosh Hashanah and for the blowing of the shofar. It is not the mere physical release from prison that is so important, but it is the fact that together with the physical release from prison, there was also a spiritual and psychical release from prison by Joseph and Rosh Hashanah. Now, Rabbi Yehuda Halevi gives vent to this idea very succinctly and beautifully in one of his poems when he writes, Ho'eilom Kele, the Odom Asya. The world at large is a big prison, and every man is a prisoner. Every man is restrained and bound by certain feelings, instincts, complexes, and inhibitions, which tend to inhibit and to frustrate. Joseph himself who was so loyal to his father and to his brother in spite of his dreams and who was so shockingly betrayed by his own mother, by his own brother, when he was sold by them as a slave in Egypt, and was again betrayed by his own master, to whom he had showed so much fidelity and loyalty, by being thrown into prison. This loyal Joseph, when he was in prison in Egypt, became disappointed with everything and with everybody. The same Joseph, the same loyal Joseph in prison, according to our sages, lost confidence in his brothers, in his aged father, in his master, and even in Almighty God himself. And our sages say, in connection with the verse of Lizocha Sar Mashki Mesiyesei Vayishkecheyu, Hadohu Dechsiv, Ashrei HaGever, Ashasom Niftachei Biodom, Veloipono El Rehovim, Yeseif Lifi Shesom Niftachei Bisar Mashki, Huska Kliyeis Yeshei, Shtei Shonim Yeseir, Bibei Sasson. Joseph, in prison, lost his confidence in Almighty God. And in prison, Joseph became not only a physical prisoner, but a spiritual prisoner as well. But on Rosh Hashanah, when Joseph was released from prison, then he realized the truth that is contained in the expression, Elikim Chashovi L'Tevo, that it was not in vain that he was sold as a slave, that it was for his own welfare and for the purpose of saving his family as well as all of mankind, that he had to undergo all this misery and torture. At that time, Joseph was released and relieved of the spiritual chains that were upon him, and he was relieved of the various complexes and inhibitions that overwhelmed him in prison, and his faith in God and in men was revived. And the Joseph, who in prison had lost all confidence in God and men, and Rosh Hashanah, together with the physical release, he He became a new man. And the concept of belonging to God, and hence to men as well, was revived within his heart. And for this reason, on Rosh Hashanah, we celebrate the release of Yosef from the Beis Asurim, not because of the physical release, but in order to dedicate ourselves to the concept of belonging, which is not only the gist of the concept of Dusha, but also the gist of the concept of heaven. All right. The 100 keles that the mother of Sisra uttered when she was in grief over the failure of her son to come back from war. This means the Jews throughout the generations, are required to blow 100 keles, thereby musically to express the grief that overwhelmed the mother of pagan Sisra. In other words, Rosh Hashanah is dedicated to all mothers of the world. Rosh Hashanah is the Jewish counterpart of Mother's Day. It is dedicated to all the mothers, and it does not exclude any mother from its orbit, not even the mothers of the enemies of Israel, like Sisra. This is what? Faith? All right. Then ninthly, Rosh Hashanah has the motive of tshuva. The Rambam says in Meir Nevuchim, Rosh Hashanah hu yeim harois tshuva libnei Adam. And as the Rambam says, this is the Rambam in Meir Nevuchim, and as the Rambam says in Rosh Hashanah, afal pi shet ki ashoifo b'Rosh Hashanah b'zeres hakosuf, mikol mokim remez yesh b'dovo, shenema uru yishenim hokitzu mitad emaschem, ilu bnei Adam hayishenim b'havli azman. That's the motive of tshuva. Tenthly, Rosh Hashanah has the motive of being the day on which Joseph was released from prison in Egypt. And according to the Chazal, this fact that Yosef was released from prison on Rosh Hashanah, B'Rosh Hashanah, Yotzei Yosef Mi Sasurim, is much more than a historical coincidence. According to Chazal, it constitutes a cardinal motive for the celebration of Rosh Hashanah and for the blowing of shofar. And the Chazal base it upon the pasuk in Tehillim, Tiku v'chide shofar. בקסר ליהם חגינו, שחית לישראל הוא, משפוט לי לכי יעקב, עדוס בייסי סמי, בתייסי בארץ ישראל. The expression, עדוס בייסי סמי, implies, according to Chazal, that we have to blow the shofar and celebrate Rosh Hashanah because of the fact that Joseph was released from prison on Rosh Hashanah. There are probably more motives in Rosh Hashanah. But I was able to take notice of these 10 motives. At first glance, it is obvious that if a Yom Tov has so many multifarious motives, that there must be one universal motive which includes all the manifold motives. There must be a common denominator that combines the various motives of Rosh Hashanah. What is the universal motive that combines all these various motives? It is obvious that the universal motive combining all the other motives must be that one which serves as the appellation for Rosh Hashanah. Now, Rosh Hashanah is the beginning of a year. Rosh Hashanah is dedicated to the concept of Malchus HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Rosh Hashanah is dedicated to the concept of Sheitris. Rosh Hashanah is the Jewish Mother Day. It's all true. But what is the appellation? What motive constitutes the appellation? We do not say B'yoyim HaMalchus HaZein Kiddush. In Birkat HaMozein, we say B'yoyim HaZikorein HaZein. So it seems that the motive of the Korein, of the Chronois, is the universal motive. And for this reason, this is the appellation for Rosh Hashanah. In order to understand the full significance of this universal motive, we must delve into the broche of the Chronois, which expresses the motive of Yoyim HaZikorein, and especially into the conclusion of the Brocha of the Chronois. Because all the Brochas were formulated by the Anshei Knesset HaGdolah in such a way that the concluding phrase actually gives vent to the basic idea of the prophet. This is true of all prophets. The concluding phrase in the Broche of the Chronois, which expresses the motive of Yoyim HaZikorein, is Baruch Ato Adishem Zoycheir HaBris. What does it mean, Zoycheir HaBris? Almighty God remembers the covenant. In order to understand the meaning of Zecher HaBris, we must first define Bris. Bris is a covenant, a contract, an agreement. A Bris is a contract, an agreement drawn up between two parties, whereby the parties to the contract bind themselves so that they should belong one to another. The Ribbono Shel Olam is designated as the Zecher HaBris because of the various contracts, covenants, that were drawn up between Almighty God on one hand and men on the other. Most of the covenants drawn up between Almighty God and men were covenants drawn up between the Ribbono Shel Olam on one hand and the Ovis of the Knesset Yisrael, Avraham, Yitzchak, and the other, and Yaakov, and the other. But there is one covenant, and which is the first covenant, historically speaking, between Almighty God and men, and that is the covenant drawn up between Almighty God on one hand, and Noach as ancestor and representative of mankind on the other. The covenant drawn up between Almighty God and men, whether it's between Almighty God and Noach, or between Almighty God and Avraham, Yitzchak, and Yaakov, or between Almighty God and the Knesset Yisrael at Mount Sinai, are all contracts whereby Almighty God became bound to men to such an extent that Almighty God belongs to men. For when we say Elokei Avraham, Elokei Yitzchak, Elokei Yaakov, it is to be taken in literal sense. It is not to be taken in the sense, as some so-called philosophers explain, Elokei Avraham, because Avraham had a certain concept of God. No! Elokei Avraham is to be taken in a literal sense. The God of Avraham, because God belongs to Avraham. He belongs. Avraham had title in Hashem Yisborach. How did Avraham have title in Hashem Yisborach? Simply because of the covenant that was established by God between Almighty God himself end of all. The Rebbeinu Shalom is called the Lekei Yitzchok simply because the Rebbeinu Shalom belonged to Yitzchok, because of the covenant that is drawn up between the Rebbeinu Shalom and Yitzchok. The Rebbeinu Shalom is designated as the Lekei Yaakov because the Rebbeinu Shalom belongs to Yaakov. And when we refer to the Rebbeinu Shalom as Lekei Yisrael, it is to be taken in a literal sense, not only in the sense that we believe in Hashem Yisbarach, but in the literal sense. The Rebbeinu Shalom is Lekei Yisrael because he belongs to us. We have title in the Rebbeinu Shalom. Not only does the Rebbeinu Shalom have title in us, we have title in the Rebbeinu Shalom because of the covenant that was drawn up between the Rebbeinu Shalom and the Knesset Yisrael. And when the Rebbeinu Shalom is referred to as a Lekei Kol Basar, then it is also to be taken in a literal sense, in the sense that the Rebbeinu Shalom belongs to mankind. Mankind has title in the Rebbeinu Shalom. Why? Because of the covenant that was drawn up between the Rebbeinu Shalom on one hand and Noach as the ancestor and the representative of all of mankind on the other. And this is the reason as to why we say in the Bracha of Zichronis, V'gam Esneach, B'Avo Zocharto, V'Tifkedeu, B'Dvar Yeshua. So the Rebbeinu Shalom is designated as Zecher HaBris because the Rebbeinu Shalom himself feels bound by the various brises that he established with men. Rish HaShono is Eyema Zikorein because the Rebbeinu Shalom is Zecher HaBris. It goes without saying that the Rebbeinu Shalom is Zecher HaBris all the time, not only on Rish HaShono. Respect Almighty God, there cannot be any change between one day of the year and the other. The Rebbeinu Shalom is as much Zecher HaBris today as will be on Rish HaShono. So it follows logically that when we say Rish HaShono is the Yom HaZikaron, it is not because of the fact that on Rish HaShono the Rebbeinu Shalom is Zecher HaBris, for the Rebbeinu Shalom is Zecher HaBris all the time. Rish HaShono is designated as Yom HaZikaron simply because of the fact on Rish HaShono it is incumbent upon each and every Jew to dedicate himself to the concept of Zecher HaBris and to become a Zecher HaBris himself, even as Almighty God is a Zecher HaBris all the time. And this is in conformity to the principle of Alachto Bidrochov, Mahu Rachum, Mafato Yirachum, Mahu Chanun, Mafato Yichanun, Mahu Kodesh, Afato Yikodesh, and so on and so forth. So it also follows, Mahu Zecher HaBris, Afato Yizecher HaBris. It also follows that if from Rosh Hashanah it is the task of each and every Jew to dedicate himself to the concept of Zecher HaBris and to emulate God by becoming a Zecher HaBris himself or herself, then it is also only logical that the only manner in which a person can become a Zecher HaBris is by emulating God in all ways. Man can become a Zecher HaBris only if his general demeanor is such that it is emulative of God himself. If the Rebbeinu Shalom himself realizes the concept of Zecher HaBris by feeling bound to man, then man too, in order to become Zecher HaBris, he of course must above all feel bound to God. Above all, he must feel that he belongs to God. But in addition to that, he must realize that man cannot belong to God in a vacuum. In order to truly belong to God, he must belong to men as well, for God himself feels bound to men. How can men belong to God without belonging to men at the same time? This is the universal motive of Rosh Hashanah. Namely, the concept of belonging. On Rosh Hashanah, a Jew is to dedicate himself to the concept of belonging. For this reason, Rosh Hashanah was declared by the Torah as the beginning of the year. Hashem could have said that any other day could mark the beginning of the year. But Hashem said, no, only Rosh Hashanah can mark the beginning of the year. Why? Because at the beginning of the year,